sports meets life with an unbiased perspective. This is your wake-up call with Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop shop for sports. Appreciate you tuning in, and I have to thank, getting started here, Podbean.com. That's where all of the podcasts that you're listening to, all the Wake Up Call shows go to first. I want to thank them for what they've done to let me know that they have put me into the TV and film category as a featured podcast, which allows people to see the Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora podcast. It's even more visible now. And I want to thank the Podbean.com team for their choice in doing this. I had no idea that it was coming. It is one of the best honors and biggest honors that I've ever had in my life. And I cannot thank them enough. 600,000 users, and they chose me to be one of the featured podcasts, which truly means a lot to me, and I hope that that gets me out to more of you, that maybe some of you listening right now are first-time listeners, and I welcome you in. For everyone that's been a long-time listener, welcome again, and I look forward to continuing to bringing you something different, something original, in a world where it seems like we fight for originality every day. It's something that's carefree, you know, a release for you. A release from the stress, something that's fun, something exciting, informative, helpful, and at the end of the day, helps bring you a little bit closer to God in my mind, to give you a little bit more than maybe what you had walking into this. So I thank you all for tuning in, and I thank you all for listening, and I thank Podbean.com once again here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, starting it off like we always do. Annoying moment of the week. And when I say we, I guess I mean me and my split personality. Sometimes I say we, and I don't exactly know where I'm going with that. I am happy to bring you the annoying moment of the week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt, longtime partner with Dan Tortora Broadcast Media, going on, I believe we've passed 2.5 years. So I thank Jay Cartini and his crew over at Carvel DeWitt, 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York, right at the end of Erie Boulevard. You can't miss it, folks. Seriously, the longest standing Carvel franchise in the entire nation. There is no ice cream cake if it's not Carvel. And I've said this before. When you grab a tissue, people say, give me a Kleenex. And that's a company. Somebody says, you know, give me a Band-Aid. Band-Aid's a company. You know, and I think it's just, it's ingrained in our society that we say Kleenex, we say Band-Aid. And it's the same thing for me with ice cream cake. I say Carvel. It's not, hey, can we get an ice cream cake from anywhere? It's, hey, could you go pick up that ice cream cake from Carvel? And the reason being is that it's different. Who else has that vanilla and chocolate flavor with the crunchies in between, those chocolate crunchies? And who else makes that type of frosting? I mean, when you have a Carvel ice cream cake, it just sets the bar so high that if you get an ice cream cake for a special event and you don't know where it came from and it sat right in front of you and you have a piece of it, you say, you know, this doesn't taste like Carvel. You know when it's not Carvel because it's that type of quality, that quality that Jay Cartini and his team at Carvel DeWitt go one step ahead. Fresh handmade daily ice cream cakes from Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street. To go one step further and include Carvel Light, which gives you less calories an ounce for a Carvel ice cream cake, for a flying saucer, for the sundae of your choice, for the shake of your choice, to have less calories an ounce if you're counting your calories going into the holiday season, to give you that, to allow you to have your Carvel experience and allow you to have that great flavor and to do it with less calories and to bring you the only place that you could get the Wake Up Call Sunday, which I cannot thank Jay Cartini and his team enough for. Wake Up Call Sunday, soft serve, chocolate, vanilla, or a twist. I thought it was important that you get to choose because some of you are chocolate lovers, vanilla lovers, and some of you like a little bit of both, and I understand that. Topped off with caramel, swirl, cookie dough pieces, whipped cream, and a cherry. You can't go wrong with it. Grab yourself a Wake Up Call Sunday any day of the week. They're open Monday through Sunday until 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So make sure if you're coming into the Central New York area to get over to Carvel DeWitt. And if you're in the community, well, you know where it is. You need to get over there. 4322 East Genesee Street. They are bringing you the annoying moment of the week with me in just a few moments. We will also get into the Syracuse Orange, my thoughts on the football team, Scott Schaefer's thoughts on the football team, and what Scott had to say going into that Maryland game, including him answering my questions on the defensive line and on the secondary, as we continue on here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com. We'll also hear from Phil Wedden getting to a different field, Syracuse women's soccer field. Phil Wedden, who has been a part of so many different soccer teams around, not the country, around the entire world, helped coach Hope Solo before she became the starting goalkeeper for the United States women's national team. So helping her to get to where she is today, Phil Wedden, and I know that he is a very humble person, so I will give him some credit for that. Teaching this team, doing so much work with the Syracuse women's soccer team, falling in love with this team, and really trying to build it into something strong. We'll hear from him as he will come on in the Art of Leadership as a guest on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com. I'll also get into my tweet of the week honoring you, 460-plus followers on Twitter. Hard to believe. Cannot thank you enough for this. Truly appreciate it. I'll be picking my tweet of the week for this week coming up, so make sure you don't miss out on your opportunity to be that. And so much more. We'll get into the NFL. I have some thoughts on what's going on in the NFL. So you don't want to miss out on any of that coming up. Plenty to come on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com. But not before you hear from our sponsors, our partners, the people that help make what I do possible. And I'm thankful and appreciative to announce Salt City Billiards in North Syracuse, who you'll hear from in just a moment here, as well as Pole Position Raceway, who not only gave me the honor of being partners with Dan Satora Broadcast Media, but gave me the honor to voice their message to you and everything that they can offer you. You definitely want to get out to Salt City Billiards at Pole Position Raceway if you want to have some fun. If you've never been out and to shoot pool before, this is something that you need to do. I mean, I did this with my dad growing up. It's just a lot of fun. It's a game that you can enjoy. You can have something to eat, something to drink, and it really is different. It has so much skill to it, and sometimes just sheer luck in how you could get it done. I love playing pool, and the first time that I started beating some of my friends that have beat me every single time, some of the best memories I had when I realized, wow, I could play this too. So you definitely want to get out to Salt City Billiards. It's a great experience. It's been around for such a long time. Joe Speech and everyone there at Salt City Billiards welcoming you in. And we're going to be doing something very special on Thursday nights that you'll hear about, as well as the experience of going to Pole Position Raceway, taking something that's been in the community for so long in Salt City Billiards to something new in the community in Pole Position Raceway, and still something that you just need to get out and see and experience. When you go up and you watch the racers at Pole Position Raceway, which can be anybody, anybody can race, when you see the racers, it's one thing to say, wow, you know, when you're in Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York, and you're on the second level of the new part of the mall, and you can feel the ground shaking under you from a floor below, it's crazy. You feel like you're a part of the experience even when you're not there. Then you go up and watch, and you think, wow, these people are going by, you know, this is fast. This isn't just like a little go-kart, hey, let's see what happens. I mean, these are people that are literally whipping around this track. You're seeing people blow by and saying, oh my gosh, how do they do that? Then you get in. You're the driver, sitting in their electric cart, and you are going up to 45 miles per hour. My experience, sitting in that cart, whipping around the track, and I thought two things. I thought, don't spin out, and don't hit anything. I only hit just a little bit, grazed, I would say, the side of the track twice, never spun out, and I was very proud of myself for that. It's just an exhilarating experience. It truly is something that I can't pinpoint it and say, oh, it's just like this. I mean, it's if you love, and a lot of us do, going down to Walt Disney World and being a part of the attractions, this literally makes you that. I thought about being on Test Track and how you sit in the car and they drive you around. Now you are the driver. You're the person. You're the man, woman, or child that's behind this. And you could do it for corporate events. You could do it for birthday parties. You could do it just for fun bachelor parties, bachelorette parties. I think it's a phenomenal experience. You have to go out and do it with your friends and your family. So you'll hear the message coming up here during the break as well. I thank you all once again for tuning in. So much to come, starting off with the annoying moment of the week. And if you've been paying attention to what's going on in the NFL, I'm sure you can only imagine what I'm going to talk about here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. Find out what it is when we come back right here on the show and with the company that brings you sports meeting life every single day. Come out to Pole Position Raceway, the premier indoor electric karting experience. Open 7 days a week, their quarter-mile-long European-style track, located on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York, is home to the fastest electric karts in North America, with speeds up to 45 miles per hour. Arrive and drive any day, Monday through Sunday. Pole Position Raceway is also available for group events. From kids' birthday parties to corporate events, they will provide an authentic, exhilarating, and safe racing experience your guests will never forget. For more information, visit polepositionraceway.com or stop in today on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York. Pole Position Raceway, built by racers for racers.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Rack 'em up for the perfect sport to play in any weather. Salt City Billiards in North Syracuse, located on Brewerton Road, minutes from Interstate 81, has been the home of a dozen pool tables featuring some of your best shots and memories for years. Cue it up at Salt City Billiards any day of the week. And make sure you're there with me, Dan Tatora, for on-call nights every single Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m., where you'll rack them up as many times as you want with 2 hours of pool play for just $5. Also, Bud and Bud Light specials, and we can talk about sports. That's on-call nights Thursdays, 7 to 9 p.m. at Salt City Billiards, where you can grab a drink, get something to eat, and dive into the pool no matter what the season. Salt City Billiards, minutes from Interstate 81 on Brewerton Road in North Syracuse. Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop. And getting into it right now, as we always do, the annoying moment of the week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt, comes to you right now. One word, bullying. Something that can truly take terrible turns. There's nothing positive about it. Some people want to call it tough love, razzing. Usually the person that says, I'm just goofing around one of my buddies, is the person that's doing the bullying that doesn't want to get in trouble. And in the NFL, and I know a lot of people have talked about this, but I feel that it's only right for me to share with you my take. Original, different, not something you're going to hear everywhere. Yeah, we're going to look at some of the things that went on with Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin, allegedly, but I also want to get into more from what I see in the big picture. But let's start here. Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin, Miami Dolphins, this is where the issue comes about, that there was alleged bullying with using of racial slurs, swearing, just not nice behavior, not something that really makes you want to go to work and feel safe. Guard Richie Incognito has been suspended for what's being called, quote, conduct detrimental to the team, end quote, and tackle Jonathan Martin decided on his own to leave the team, from what is being stated. The voice message transcript that's come out, and this is alleged as well, the voice message that's come out, I can't obviously say all of this, But if you haven't read it, I can read it to you now and tell you that this is what allegedly came from Richie Incognito to Jonathan Martin. Quote, "Hey, what's up, you half N-word piece of blank. I saw you on Twitter. You've been training 10 weeks. I want to blank in your effing mouth. I'm going to slap your effing mouth. I'm going to slap your real mother across the face." And then there was laughter. "F you, you're still a rookie. I'll kill you." Just reading that, and the end quote there, just reading that, to be completely honest with you, I felt, you know that feeling when you just feel like something you're saying isn't right or something's unsettling? You just get that feeling in your chest like, oh, you know, like, I would hate to be a part of that. I actually felt like a victim reading that just then and there. To read those words, if those words in fact are true. Just to hear that, think about that. Think about having a message on your phone. You come out of practice, or you're out of school, or you get out of work, whatever it may be, and or you wake up in the morning and you say, "Hey, let me check my phone." And you grab your phone, you get a voicemail, whether you knew who it was from or not, you play the voicemail, and that's what plays. And I want to stop here and give you some personal accounts from myself. I have been bullied. I was bullied in school. I've been bullied in the workplace. I've woken up to text messages that were derogatory and negative, and what I would consider bullying. People who literally, and this is sad, people who would wake up that I worked with, that were on my team, allegedly, that I would get up in the morning to a message at 7 o'clock, 7:15, 8:30 in the morning to someone telling me negative things, trying to, and it happened more than once to the point where it really looked like that person woke up in the morning and thought, with one of their first daily chores that they needed to do, "I need to try and ruin Dan's day immediately. I need to get to him at 7, 8 o'clock, 8:30 at the latest, because when he wakes up, I want him to see this." And these are people that I worked with. So, you know, it's, I cannot begin to describe to you how difficult it is and how trapped you may feel, especially when it's people that have direct access to you. They either see you or they can call you. They have your phone number. When you're working with somebody, because you think about it, well, Dan, why don't you just block the phone number? Well, this is somebody that you work with. So you're talking on a daily basis and going back and forth, getting in touch with, you know, this person's going to get in touch with you. They need to talk to you about different things that are going on. So I've witnessed bullying firsthand, and I witnessed it first really intense, I would say, in school. And I was very surprised at the level of education at my school and yet the level that people acted like. When you're at a school that's a highly touted high school that has a really good background, a lot of colleges recruiting from there for good students that are going to obviously help continue their tradition, their positive tradition, and to see just the level of immaturity, the level of ignorance, the level of disrespect, prejudice, racism, and you think about the F word, and a lot of people, when I say the F word, you think of the four-letter word. Well, the other word that's used for someone who's homosexual, that was the favorite word that people used, and I'm 100% straight. You know, I've always been very comfortable in my sexuality. I'm getting married to a woman that I love. But even as a straight man, when you hear that F word that's utilized with homosexuals or being gay, that word is so unsettling, and it brings that atmosphere that you just don't want to hear. And it's something that was used like the word "the" by some people I went to high school with, and you can't help but look at that person And obviously, as you grow up, you say that person's ignorant, that person will not fit into society because they've closed themselves off, they're going to bark up the wrong tree at some point. But in that moment, when someone's calling you a name, yelling it down the hall, it unsettles you. And you know, that word doesn't define who you are. And in my case, it wasn't even who I am. I'm heterosexual, and I have no problem with people that are homosexual. I can look at them and say that I have loved ones in my life that I don't think that it's a choice. I think they're born that way. And I think to find love in this world, if you find love, you have to hold on to it. So I can definitely look at that and say, I don't disrespect someone that's homosexual. I don't think I have the right to. For the same reason, I don't think someone has a right to disrespect me for being heterosexual or Italian or Hispanic. So to be called names, to have people threaten you, I've had people threaten me. I've had people get in my face and threaten me that I went to high school with. And you look at that, and in that moment, you have that. You know, I think we all have it, whether we admit it or not, that fear that someone is gunning for you. Someone wants to hurt you, and you haven't done anything. When it comes to bullying, it's usually the person that's done nothing that's getting attacked. And it's a very unsettling place to be. And then to go into the workplace, and obviously you grow, and I look back at my high school days and I say, I never want to feel the way I felt back then. And you feel trapped. You don't feel like maybe people are going to look out for you. I've been bullied by administrators, teachers in my college before. So, you know, I've been put in those situations where you look at it and say, who do I go to? Because once I let this out, once I bring this case up against somebody or I say something, now it's going to open up a totally different world. And this person's always going to know that I said something. So for the rest of my time, if I have class with this teacher, I'm going to have to go up against this teacher all the time. And there's not going to be people in the classroom with me every single moment that are going to be writing this down. There's not going to be a lawyer saying, oh, they said that, you know. So I can say firsthand that it's very difficult when you're being bullied to really feel like there's a way out at times. So for those of you that are being bullied, let me tell you this. I know that you feel trapped. I know that you feel like it's difficult, that there's no way out, that you can't get help, but I am a true, 100% true specimen, example, that you do handle it, and you work through it, and people do help. And I can say that, it, you know, looking at administrators and teachers in the past and fellow students, I expect more. I expected more from people. I really did. But what you find more often than not is people don't want to deal with a problem. And so when I look at this case with Jonathan Martin, I don't know him. I don't know Richie Incognito. Let's say Richie Incognito has done all these terrible things. Let's say he has bullied Jonathan Martin. And you look at him and you say, first of all, let's throw this thing out the window. When people look at Jonathan Martin, they say, well, he's a big guy. He's an NFL player. You just punch him in the face. What's that guy, 250, 300 pounds? He could take him. He could take him. You know, that seems to be the remedy for it. If somebody's bullying you, punch him in the face. But that, to me, doesn't solve anything. To commit an act of violence or to bully that person back or to threaten that person back, to stoop to that level. Because you try and figure out a way out of it. So let's take that out of the equation. If Jonathan Martin is being affected by Richie Incognito, something needs to change. Something needs to stop. And what you see more often than not, and I'm not saying that this happened with the Dolphins because I don't know this. I'm saying as a broad scope or what I've seen in my life on a personal level, what happens more often than not that I've seen is people don't want to get their hands dirty. They know that bullying is going on. They'll tell you behind closed doors with the lights off, hey, Dan, this isn't right what's happening to you. People shouldn't do this. But they're not going to turn the lights on, walk out of that room, and do something about it every time because they don't want to deal with it. And if they do deal with it, you're thinking, what about the retaliation? So when you get bullied, you're thinking, who's going to help me? Then if you find someone to help you, well, what? Then you're worried about them. Well, what if the bully does something to them? And then you're thinking at the end of this all, well, what if the bully knows it's me? What if the bully knows I did it? Now it's going to get worse for me. This person's going to come to my house. They're going to find my phone number. They're going to send me messages. And you think about all these things, and you drive yourself nuts, and you go into a black hole, and some people get depressed. And unfortunately, some people not only think about suicide, some people commit suicide. And that in and of itself is awful. It is terrible. That should be the defining moment for humanity. It hasn't been, but it should be. The fact that one person in the history of humanity of over 2,000 years of existence would kill themselves because of the fact that they can't take the hate anymore. They can't take the bullying anymore. They can't take being pushed up against the locker, being called a bad name, having their mother threatened or their father threatened or themselves threatened. Getting changed in a locker room and not feeling safe enough in that locker room that they're there for 3 minutes, that in and of itself should be our defining moment as humanity to say, no more, no more. It's done. We're done with it. So I don't care if it happens in the NFL. I don't care if it happens in school, in the workplace, in kindergarten, on the playground, wherever it happens, it needs to stop. And it stops by having people speak up. It stops by having the people that are around looking at this. In the case of the Dolphins, the players, if all of this is going on and they're in the locker room while this is happening, that the players, somebody out of that team of 50-plus added on to your practice squad and your coaches, whoever saw this, somebody's got to have some cojones to step up and say, you know what? This is wrong. This is not okay. Because this is what you see happen in life. How many times has something happened to you and somebody, and you know somebody saw it? You know somebody saw it or somebody heard it, but what do? They turned around, right? They walked away. They hummed to themselves. The song by Phil Collins embodies that. Another Day in Paradise, right? Where the woman calls out to the man on the street, sir, can you help me? She's cold and she has nothing to eat. And he just walks away, doesn't look back, pretends he can't hear her. That happens all the time. It happens all the time. And you wonder in that situation, if I walk by an alleyway and somebody was getting beat up, I don't want to get beat up, so I just keep walking. But then you think about that person for the rest of the day. Call the cops. Do something. Because you know what happens? If it's us, we have a totally different response than if it's somebody else. Hey, Dan, that was Jonathan Martin. That's not me. That happened in Miami. I live in New York. That's so far away. That's not on my doorstep. Okay. Let's say that you listening right now, you're 20 years old. Okay. And it doesn't happen to you today. It doesn't happen to you at all. For the rest of your life, it doesn't happen. No bullying. But you have a daughter 4 years from now who gets bullied. Right? She gets punched in the face. She gets kicked. She has a guy that threatens to rape her. Then what? Then what? You want to go out there? Oh, I'm going to kill that guy. Really? You're going to go to jail for the rest of your life? And then you won't be able to protect your daughter for real. So you think about it. Where is the end? And I can tell you it's a downward spiral when you start thinking about this. When you're in high school saying, who's going to help me? When you work with just a couple people, and these are the only people that you talk to, and your bosses are so hands-off, they don't care, and they're miles and miles away. Who's going to help me? Who's going to be there for me? And you find that strength inside, and this is why I tell you every time on the show, this is why I say this, and anybody that knows me knows this. I will never force my beliefs on you, my morals, my values. I will never tell you what to do. I give you my opinion. That's my job. My job as a voice is to tell you what I'm thinking, to share my take. And I'm always open to your take. I ask you to do two things when you talk with me, be it on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT, on Twitter at CallDT, CALLDT, or on the fan line, 315-5031-FAN. That's 315-503-1326. However you talk with me, I ask you to do two things. Be respectful and justify your opinion. That's all. I don't care if you have a different opinion. That's fine. That's fine. You can have a difference of opinion. We're not all going to agree with each other. So in saying that, I say this. I love God. I have never forced anybody to love God. I've never forced anybody to believe in God. I will tell you this. When I was getting bullied and I was going through all of this hate and I went through my time of depression and I was in that downward spiral, I prayed to God. Sometimes I didn't think he heard me. Sometimes I didn't think he helped me. Sometimes I didn't think he wanted to. Sometimes I thought, I'm just complaining or I'm crazy. But you know what? I'm sitting here today doing a show, talking with you, living my dream. You know why? Because God somehow, some way in my life picked me up out of that downward spiral, stopped the tornado, got me out of the black hole, and got me sitting here right now. It took some work. It took some time. But I'm not in that place. But you look back on those moments. You look back on those moments in your life when you've been bullied or someone you love has been bullied. And how terrible is it, the things that people say? Just awful. Anything. It doesn't have to be the words that were used in this alleged voice message from Richie Incognito to Jonathan Martin. Could be any word. When people call Italians wops, and I've heard that before. Somebody calling me a spick or saying the word in front of me because I have Spanish blood. To hear that, it's unsettling. It bothers you. A dumb blonde, it's used so much in society, but how many blondes go home and cry about that you don't know about? Be called a bimbo or an idiot. I've seen that firsthand. When somebody's just regarded as dumb because, well, that's the color of your hair. You're an idiot. That's the color of your skin. You don't belong here. That's happened in our society. When people say, Hispanic is the new black, gay is the new Hispanic. You know what that means? It means it's the new race of people or new grouping of people that are hated, that are the butt end of every joke, that are the ones that you're holding the dart, they're the board. So you don't want to be the new black or the new Hispanic or the new gay. And they shouldn't have to be there in the first place. It's ridiculous. Or let's take everything away. Let's take prejudice and racism away. You just are a bully. You're walking down the hallway in school and you say, you know what? I'm going to make this kid's life miserable. He looks scared. I think I can prey on him. I'm bigger than him. I'm taller than him. I'm more muscular than him. My parents have more money than his parents do. I'm going to make him curl up into a shell and make him want to kill himself. And guess what, moron? Sometimes people do that. Sometimes they do kill themselves. Sometimes they retaliate and they blow schools up. Am I saying that that's right? No. But you know what, jerk? Why don't you not do that? What do you gain from bullying somebody? What do you accomplish in your life from being a jerk? What do you accomplish? Nothing. And guess what? Everything that goes around comes back around. It does. It comes back around. So you think you're protected? It hits you. It always does. Whether people believe in God or not, you believe in a higher power or something in the air or karma, when you spit into the wind, it comes back. When you put good into the world and people say, well, good never happens to me, it will. When you put bad into the world and people say, well, look at that bad person, nothing bad ever happens to them, it usually does. And I'm not wishing bad on anybody at all. And I'm not saying that people who do bad things shouldn't have good things happen to them, shouldn't be forgiven. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, what are you hoping to gain by being a bad person, by hurting someone? I've always wondered that, wanted to line up the people that bullied me and said, what did you gain from this? Did it make you feel better? Did it make you feel like more of a man? Did that help your ego? Because once you and I stop talking, you got to pick on somebody else now. You spend so much of your life trying to find people that are weak. And all that says about your character is that you're weak. If you can't survive without leeching onto someone else and sucking the life out of them, then you're telling me you don't have much of a life. And that's sad. So instead of reaching out to someone like me who's willing to help someone like you who's not happy with themselves, you pick on me. You put me down. You beat me up. And you don't get any better from it. And I don't get any better from it. So bullying to me has to stop on every single level, in Congress, from country to country, in schools, on playgrounds, on teams. Whether Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin, this shakes out to be what it is, and as bad as it sounds, whatever it may be, guess what? It's opening our eyes. We shouldn't need this to open our eyes, but it is opening our eyes. Whatever truth is to this, whatever lies are to this, this is an example of bullying, which is why I'm talking about it on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, on WakeUpCallDT.com, because it needs to end. Because I've felt silent before, I've shut my mouth, and there's times within this conversation right now that I'm thinking in my head a little switch. Hey, should I shut up right now? Should I not say anymore? Because what if the bullies know that I'm talking about them? What if people are sitting back going, Dan, I can't believe you're saying this. You look weak. Guess what? I was never weak. I was never weak. I always had God. I always had my loved ones. But I thought I was weak. I thought I was down. I thought I was going to die. I thought these people are crazy. I thought it's never going to end. I'm going to have an ulcer. I'm going to have a heart attack. I can't control what other people do. I can only control how I respond. And a lot of those days, I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know what to do. Why someone would make fun of me for never hurting them, never doing anything to them. That someone just wake up in the morning and go, you know what? I don't hate Dan Satora, but I'm going to hate Dan Satora today. I'm going to pretend like I hate him. I'm going to do everything in my power to make that man want to kill himself. And there are people that do that every single day. They do it. Whether you're Dan Satora, Bob Smith, Cheryl Sanchez, I'm just making up names, but whoever you are, whoever you are. That's why when I say a prayer, I don't just pray for the victim, I pray for the perpetrator. Because if we only pray for the victim, guess what? The perpetrator's out there all the time. We have to pray for them. Because if the perpetrators go away, then there are no victims. So for everyone that's ever been bullied in some way, shape, or form, I'm here with you. I'm holding your hand. We're standing united, and I'm done with it. I was done with it before I knew what it was. When I was born and didn't know that there was a word, bullying, I was done with it. Now I'm really done with it. And I look at this story and what's been going on. Teammates of both Incognito and Martin on the Dolphins, this is what they had to say and everything that's going on. Continuing on here with the annoying moment of the week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt, only on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com. Offensive tackle Tyson Klebo said this, quote, I think if you have a problem with somebody, a legitimate problem with somebody, you should say, I have a problem with this, and stand up and be a man. I don't think what happened is necessary. I don't know why he's doing this. I believe in this case he's referring to Martin. And the only person who knows why is Jonathan Martin. So he's saying, be a man, stand up to the guy, say, what's your problem? Well, guess what? For those of us that have been bullied before, you understand, not the easiest thing to say. You can say it very easily, not the easiest thing to do. Left tackle Bryant McKinney had this to say from the Dolphins. Quote, I thought they were friends, referring to Incognito and Martin. They looked like friends to me. I never seen any tension or anything. I didn't see this coming. The only person who got punished was Richie. The other guy, that was his option, speaking on Jonathan Martin. He had a choice what he wanted to do. Richie didn't really have a choice. End quote. I want to bring up something that McKinney said. He said, I thought they were friends. They look like friends to me. And this is something that I did firsthand in high school. When somebody was bullying me, you try to be their friends. You try to be civil. And sometimes that bully's smart enough to do it behind closed doors, to not do it in front of other people. So just because somebody looks like a friend doesn't mean that they are. Or that you're trying to be somebody's friend doesn't mean that you're actually friends with that person. Just like the people that get interviewed that are living next to someone that's been a serial killer for 15 years, and they say, well, they didn't look like a serial killer. They always smiled, and she always said hi to my dog, and he always told me that he always baked pies and brought them over to my house. You're right. He's a good apple pie maker, could not be a serial killer. Mm-mm. And serial killers never say hi to dogs. They walk outside and they say, hey, neighbor, I'm a serial killer. Don't mess with me. You'll end up in this pie. It doesn't happen like that. People keep things a secret. Wide receiver Brian Hartline of the Dolphins had this to say, quote, "If I'm not mistaken, this is the same guy," referring to Martin, "who was laughing about this voicemail," the one that I had read you before, "and at one point in time, first of all. Second of all, I believe that if you go through the whole voicemail, there's some things said that you probably shouldn't say in general, friends or not friends. But I know for a fact that I've said things to my friends that I kind of wish I never said either." So, Hartline saying here, guess what? I thought Martin was laughing about this, but when you hear this voicemail, it's like, well, you know, there's some things you probably shouldn't be saying. So admitting that. Hartline went on to say, quote, "With that being said, I never thought it was a death threat. I never thought he was actually going to do the things he said. If you can't take validity from one part of the voicemail, how do you take validity from the whole voicemail? You can't pick and choose what parts count and which parts don't count," end quote. Here's my problem with this. Hartline said, you know what? I didn't take this as a death threat. Well, you know what, Hartline? You didn't get the message, okay? And if somebody says, "F you, I'll kill you," you might think, ha, funny. Or you might think, oh my God, this person is crazy. So he's saying, I don't think the whole killing part was valid, so how's any of it valid? You're right, Brian. You're absolutely right. If one part of the thing didn't make any sense to you and wasn't valid, none of it's valid. That, to me, is not true. It's just not. Okay? Now, if you say if there was anything wrong within a contract, okay, or something voids the whole contract, I can get that in writing. If this thing happens and the whole contract's void, okay. But if somebody says a bunch of things and you say, well, one of those is just way out there, I can't believe it, so all of it's gone. None of it affects me. You know what, Brian? It doesn't affect you. It affected Jonathan Martin. And he said this on Martin Laughing because he had said Martin had laughed at this voicemail. He said this, quote, "I just remember it was being passed around at one point as a joke. I could be mistaken," end quote. So not really sticking by whether or not Jonathan Martin was laughing at this voicemail. And he might have been doing something I've done before. You try to laugh off bullying to make people think it doesn't bother you when inside you're crying. Hence why I'm here for you people. Hence why we need to stand together. Quarterback Ryan Tannehill had this to say from the Dolphins, quote, "Richie said, Jonathan is like my little brother. I think that's an accurate depiction. He gave him a hard time, he messed with him, but he was the first one there to have his back in any situation," end quote. Ryan Tannehill saying, hey, I think he was just busting on him like an older brother. Well, guess what? I understand that in society, older siblings pick on younger siblings. But if you have been a younger sibling, then you realize that sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you don't like it. So just because it might have been that older brother, younger brother type of attitude doesn't make it right. More of a team approach came from defensive end Cameron Wake of the Miami Dolphins, who said, quote, "What's been bothering me is the kind of things that you hear from outside this locker room about things that maybe undermine the integrity or their leadership or the type of players and the class of guys that we have here and the class of this organization. I've been here 5 years, and Coach Joe Philbin has done nothing but turn this organization in a positive direction from top to bottom," end quote. Now, Cameron's saying, and this I can agree with, Cameron's saying, listen, from the outside looking in, you guys and girls might be looking at us saying, wow, if this incognito Martin thing happened, you're all scumbags. You should have done something. This is a terrible place to work. What the heck's wrong with you? What he's saying is, we're not all bad. This shouldn't put a black mark on our organization. He's not saying it shouldn't put a black mark on Richie Incognito. He's not saying that what happened was right. He's just saying, hey, if you're looking at us and saying, whoa, look at that, look at, you know, the whole Miami Dolphins team should just be thrown out. What is this garbage? He's saying, hey, not all of us. He's not even saying it happened, but he's saying, hey, you know what? Not all of us. Don't put it on all of us. And I get it, but at the same time, somebody needs to stand up if this is what's going on. 72 players from the NFL were put into an anonymous survey. Three players from each team, 72 players. We're going to do a little math exercise here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com. If 72 players were used in the anonymous survey and three came from it each team, how many teams were used? That answer, 24. 24 of the 32 NFL teams were put into this anonymous survey, three players from each of these 24 teams making up the 72. All 72 players were asked the same three questions. Here is the first question. Which player would you rather have as a teammate? 15 people said Incognito. 34 said Martin. 23 said neither. So the majority of the 72 players that were put in this anonymous survey said, if I had to choose, I would have Jonathan Martin as my teammate. Second question, have you been the victim of hazing in the NFL? 31 of the 72 said, true. Yeah, I have. 41 said false. Now, in cases, and you hear about this too, and I'm not saying that this is happening, but when women get abused, they don't all talk about it, but if you think about it, a woman being sexually harassed, she will come out and say something before a man would. I think it's safe to say that if a man is harassed, attacked, anything like that, that a woman would come forward before a man does, because it's about ego. You know, men are supposed to be stronger. We're supposed to be able to protect ourselves, protect women. So we can't come out and say, you know, I've been abused, I've been hurt. So when you hear all the skewed numbers, like 44% of women are attacked as opposed to 15% of men, where it could actually be like 50% men or 40% men or 30%, because not every man's going to come forward and say, I've been attacked, I've been harassed, I've been bullied, because it's about ego. It's about that testosterone. So I'm not saying that that happened in this case, but 10 more said, no, I haven't been the victim, than people that said they have been the victim of the 72 players in the NFL that were put in this anonymous survey. Third question, have you provided money as a result of being hazed? If true, what's the most you have given? 28 said true, they have provided money as a result of being hazed. 44 of the 72 players in the anonymous survey in the NFL said false. Now, for the 28 said yes, I have given money after being hazed, this is what the money was used for in this anonymous survey. This is what's being said. That players said that there have been players that have come out and said, I've given $40 for donuts. Another player said, I gave $100 for Chick-fil-A. $2,500 and $5,000 for team dinners were also put in here. And then four players had astronomical... Now, I think 40 is too much. I don't think anybody should be hazed to give anything. But these four players might need to sit down for this one, because this could be half of somebody's income for a year. This could be a total income for somebody that's fighting to have a job. $9,000, one player said. $10,000, two players said. And $18,000, one player said. They didn't state what the money was used for, but four players, one $9,000, two $10,000, one $18,000, that said they were hazed and provided this amount of money. They're not saying what it was for. $18,000 for being hazed. $18,000. That's an income for somebody. That's a year for somebody. A year. 18 grand after being hazed. Crazy. It's an astronomical number. Attorney Ted Wells, getting back to this investigation, he's in charge of the investigation. He was placed in this role by the NFL to investigate impartially, and I hope that that happens, investigated impartially, asked to run the investigation as an impartial person to look at what went on with the Miami Dolphins organization. He is supposed to give a report at the end of his investigation to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, as well as league officials, and that report will be made public. As soon as it is, you can make sure that you'll catch it here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com. Outside of the Miami Dolphins, a couple people weighed in on this situation. Former Jacksonville Jaguars head coach, who I've had the opportunity to speak with before, who turned into the defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos and is now serving as the Broncos' interim head coach while John Fox is getting better. Jack Del Rio had this to say, quote, "I did address it with the team," speaking on the Broncos, "and I told them hopefully they feel confident. If anything was ever going on, they would pick one of the channels internally here, whether it be a coach, position coach, head coach, coordinator, anybody in coaching." Went on later to say, "somebody else in the building, another player, doesn't have to be a captain or a leader. If something's going on, let us help you. We like to talk about being family, and we like to think we would be helpful to a person struggling in a particular situation," end quote. I thank Jack Del Rio for saying that. I hope that he meant it, and I hope to God that every single one of the 32 NFL teams, including the Dolphins from here on out, if this did happen, and every other organization anywhere that deals with people, which is a lot, will have at least one person that's willing to stand up and say, "if you need help, I am here. If you need me, just call me, and I will help you through this." That needs to be done. New York Jets backup quarterback David Garrard, who was a teammate of Incognito's during his time at Miami, said this, quote, "I would just say he's a jokester kind of guy," speaking on Incognito. "A good guy, but like all of us, you want to have your fair shake of pranks and stuff like that." He went on to say, "it's unfortunate. You never want it to get to a point where guys want to leave the team. You would hope other guys in the locker room would help police it. It's one of those situations that's sad to see." End quote. Agree with you, sir, Mr. David Garrard. Bart Scott, former linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens and the New York Jets, said this, quote, "he needs to be gone," referring to Incognito. "No one would miss him anyway. Trust me. You got to be some type of loser in your spare time away from the building. You want to call me and leave threatening messages and text messages on my phone. That's taking bullying to a whole other level." End quote. Now, I've interviewed Bart Scott. Bart Scott can have an attitude. Seems like sometimes he likes to make people feel uncomfortable. But you know what? Even this man stepped up and said, "seriously? You're taking bullying up a notch. You're taking it to another level. You're going too far. And what are you doing in your spare time that you're on my phone sending me messages about how much you don't like me? Really?" So Bart Scott coming out and saying that's ridiculous, pretty much, from what I took from it. NFL Players Association, also known as the NFLPA, Executive Director Demora Smith had this to say, quote, "I continue to be in touch with players in Miami, their representatives, and player leadership, and I look forward to information that defines the full scope of the NFL's investigation. Every NFL player should expect safe and professional working conditions. The NFLPA has taken steps to ensure that every one of our affected members is represented. It is our duty as a union to learn the full facts, protect the interests of players involved, and hold management accountable to the highest standards of fairness and transparency," end quote. Once again, I hope it is true. I hope it is much more than a statement. Demora Smith, you stick by that. I appreciate that, definitely. If what is being said is actually put into action, that would be great. As far as the contract situation, Incognito, who's suspended right now from the team, he's a free agent after the season. It's most likely not looking good for him, PR-wise, even for Miami to just say, "we don't want you on the team." Martin has 2 more years under contract with the Dolphins, and he's decided to leave the team. So what's going to happen there is kind of up in the air, but he's actually under contract to get paid by the team after this season. Incognito is not. So that's the situation. That's what's going on. That's how people inside the organization have responded. People outside the organization have responded. And obviously, you've heard my response. Here on the Annoying Moment of the Week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt, the only place for the wake-up call. Sunday, soft-serve chocolate, vanilla, or a twist, topped off with caramel swirl, cookie dough pieces, whipped cream, and a cherry heaven. And you can get it with Carvel Light, which gives you less calories per ounce. So if you're counting your calories, you're calorie conscious, and you said, "I want that Carvel flavor, but darn it, I can't have all those calories that I got last time," guess what? You can go out there and get what you love for less calories, be it an ice cream cake, flying saucer, a sundae, shake, Carvelanche. You can now get it with less calories per ounce. So go out and get that flavor, enjoy your Carvel, and not feel bad about it if you're counting your calories. So how do you like that? Jay Cartini and his staff always looking to help you out in new and innovative ways. I thank Carvel DeWitt for everything they do. Fresh handmade cakes daily. And don't let the cold weather fool you. In Syracuse, New York, as it starts to get cooler and cooler outside, the flavor of a Carvel cake never changes, nor does any of their creations. Get into Carvel DeWitt. Open every day, 7 days a week, Monday through Sunday until 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't miss out on your opportunity for a wake-up call Sunday or for any of your favorites, as well as the live events that we do on-site at Carvel DeWitt. Can't miss out on those. We're always giving something away and always involving you in the live broadcast. So don't miss out on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora back on the field. All the shows going on at Carvel DeWitt. And stay tuned on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT and on Twitter at CallDT. That's CALLDT to find out when the next event is going to be. You can also find out on the CUSE page, CUSE, the acronym for constant updates and special exclusives, right here on WakeUpCallDT.com. So plenty of ways to find out what's going on, when the next event's going to be at Carvel DeWitt. Don't want to miss out on it. This is the annoying moment of the week. One more time on bullying and how it needs to stop. No excuses. It needs to stop. People need to stand up. Let us know that we're not alone. Just because you're not the person being bullied doesn't mean it shouldn't matter to you. This is Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. Going to take a step aside here, and then we're going to get into Syracuse Orange football, what Scott Schaefer had to say going up against Maryland, and so much more, including him honoring someone who wasn't treated fairly in the past either. It's all coming up on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com after these messages. Come out to Pole Position Raceway, the premier indoor electric karting experience. Open 7 days a week, their quarter-mile-long European-style track, located on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York, is home to the fastest electric karts in North America, with speeds up to 45 miles per hour. Arrive and drive any day, Monday through Sunday. Pole Position Raceway is also available for group events. From kids' birthday parties to corporate events, they will provide an authentic, exhilarating, and safe racing experience your guests will never forget. For more information, visit polepositionraceway.com or stop in today on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York. Pole Position Raceway, built by racers for racers.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Rack 'em up for the perfect sport to play in any weather. Salt City Billiards in North Syracuse, located on Brewerton Road, minutes from Interstate 81, has been the home of a dozen pool tables featuring some of your best shots and memories for years. Cue it up at Salt City Billiards any day of the week. And make sure you're there with me, Dan Tatora, for on-call nights every single Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m., where you'll rack them up as many times as you want with 2 hours of pool play for just $5. Also, Bud and Bud Light specials, and we can talk about sports. That's on-call nights Thursdays, 7 to 9 p.m. at Salt City Billiards, where you can grab a drink, get something to eat, and dive into the pool no matter what the season. Salt City Billiards, minutes from Interstate 81 on Brewerton Road in North Syracuse. We're here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. This is the Art of Leadership coming out of the break here with Phil Wedden, head coach of Syracuse women's soccer. And in a season where, despite the fact that there were some tough points, there's obviously a lot of positives that the team could take away from this. When you look at your season and you look at being in the ACC, what are the positives that really are first and foremost on your mind that you've been able to take away so far?
Well, I think going into our first season in the ACC, people didn't expect us to be competitive. And across the board, we have been competitive in every game. And I think it's 6-1-0 losses in games that could have gone either way. We've played great competition. And we've been, as a team, we've shown ourselves that we can compete at this level.
When you see games that are so close that could have gone either way, when you look at all of them, were they all different, or was there a lot of similarities between these games that really just wavered by one goal? Like, can you take something away from it and say, you know what, this was the parallel through all of them, or were they just different?
Well, I mean, tactically, you have to prepare for each team separately.
Right.
And each team presents different problems. So, as you know, I think our coaching staff did a fantastic job of preparing the team. The one thing I would say, though, is across the board, we did not finish the opportunities that we were presented with. Most teams in the ACC have one, two, if not three, game-changing players. And at the moment, we're struggling to find those players. And had we had one or two at certain times, I think, you know, we certainly would have put away some more chances. But, you know, on a positive note, we're creating those chances. The problem is we just didn't finish when it mattered.
When you look at standout players for you, like you said, looking for a playmaker, was there anyone that you had the expectation of going into this season? Were there players that were on your mind that you thought, these need to be our leaders, these need to be, you know, whether or not there's a captain C on their chest or not, somebody that you thought was going to be that person to step up when needed?
Well, obviously, from my point of view, we wanted some senior leadership. And I think Brittany in the goal was fantastic. Rachel, I think this was her best season of the 4 years that she's played. And we had some great additions. We had, you know, Stephanie Skilton from New Zealand came in and has scored a bunch of goals. She's been a great target player for us. We were hoping to get more goals out of Erin Simon and Alexis Koval, but you know, that wasn't to be. I think another standout player for us would have been probably Taylor Henlon. You know, Rachel and Taylor were both central defenders and were very, very good together throughout the whole year. And then, for the most part, our midfield was solid. You know, I don't think we didn't have anyone that took the ACC by storm, but I think across the field we were solid in just about every position.
When you look at your goal and what Brittany's been able to do, is she where you want her to be right now? I mean, has she attained a level to where you're comfortable? You've seen a lot of different goalies in your time, and as far as the goalkeepers that you've coached or been around, I mean, people know the names, you know, the Hope Solos of the world. When you look at who you have in goal for Syracuse right now, did she attain that level for you where you can step back and say, yeah, exactly, Brittany got to where I wanted her to be?
Yes, in some respects, and no in others.
Okay.
You know, Brittany came up big and so many times throughout the course of her time here at Syracuse. I think one of her best games actually was the 3-0 win against Miami. She was absolutely fantastic. She's come up with big saves in every game. There have been one or few decision-making situations that haven't gone her way. And while that happens to every player, you hope that it doesn't happen to a goalkeeper. You know, decision-making at the next level, which I really hope she attains. I hope she, you know, she should be a professional goalkeeper. At the next level, those decisions have to happen even quicker. So, you know, I hope she continues to train. She's obviously welcome to continue to train with us. But I think she still has another step to go before she attains that that level of greatness that you need to be a professional.
When you look at the professional world for women's soccer, do you feel that there's enough opportunities once someone's finished with college? Or would you like to see more?
I think stability is the main thing. You know, the women's professional league right now, the NWSL, this is the third generation of a women's professional league, and it's been a consistent problem of sustaining the league over multiple years. I do think it provides a great opportunity. We have an alumni, Casey Ramirez, who's playing for the Portland Thorns, who won the whole thing this year, so that's great for us. There are opportunities overseas, but as far as real professional opportunities in this country, you're down to a handful of teams who are going to pay you. So a lot of our players, a lot of the, when I say our players, the U.S. players, will go overseas.
In the overseas game, when you see them travel overseas, do you feel that that is something positive for them to play overseas, or would you rather see, I mean, you talked about stability in America, would you rather see the growth come here? I mean, how do you view when they travel overseas?
Well, as a cultural experience and playing a different style of soccer, it's great to go overseas and experience that. However, if there was a sustainable league in this country where there were more teams and more funding, obviously that would be fantastic for our players. They wouldn't have to pack up and leave the country. It would be great for the fan base to see more professional women's soccer. Unfortunately, it's getting the fans in the seats, and that's something that people like yourself help to do.
When you look at fans getting in the seats, MLS for the men's side has really risen and done such a good job to see games like the Seattle Sounders that come in their first year and have the type of fan base that they have, and see how games are getting more and more response from people in the American community, that parks are being created for these soccer teams where they're not playing inside of a football stadium or a different place. What do you think about that rise? Because we talk about how the women's game needs to have more of an attendance, more people that are saying, yes, we want to have this here. What do you attribute to the MLS being able to grow at this time as well as it has, really better than I've ever seen it?
Well, I think from the MLS's point of view, you see more and more soccer on TV. If you've got any of these sports packages, you can watch soccer 24/7 across the weekends. And more players and people are watching soccer on TV, which again translates into wanting to attend more. I think the MLS has done a great job of getting advertising out there, bringing marquee players in. Certainly the league has had great success over, I think it's 18 years now. And in local markets, New York Red Bull just won the league title, Eastern Conference title last night, so that will in turn boost New York,
right,
which is fantastic. They've marketed to the right people, and they've got a loyal group of supporters. In the women's game, we don't have that right now.
Where do you think the lack of loyal support comes from? What do you think is really responsible for that as of right now?
I think you're marketing to a different group. I think if you're going to watch a men's sporting event, it's dad and the son or next door neighbor, and they'll go together. When you're marketing for women's soccer, I think you've got to market to the family. I think you've got to get local girls teams. You've got to have a link with the community. You've got to get, it's got to be a community event, and that typically promotes it a little bit better and gets more people in the stands.
When you see the women's national team for the United States do what they've done in the most recent World Cup, when those moments happen, do you think that that is having a direct response? I mean, have you seen any rise from what happened most recently with what the women's team was able to do? Because some people say winning will solve all problems.
I mean, we had a player, one of our players, Stephanie Skilton, was with the New Zealand national team last night when they played the U.S. team. And there were 16,000 people, almost 17, I believe, at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. So you're getting 17,000, 18,000, sometimes 20 for women's games. But again, if you put that in an arena or an environment where it's a 100,000-seater stadium, it just doesn't sell properly. TV, that is not good for TV. I think there is a rise when the national team is doing well. I think there's a rise when you play an attractive style of soccer and you're successful. Here at Syracuse, we see some games we get a lot of people, other games we don't. And sometimes it's weather dependent, you never know. But typically, yeah, if a team is doing well, then more people come.
Fan loyalty, it's something that I talked about on my social media through Dance Tour Broadcast Media when I was at the game for when you were playing Maryland, your home finale, to see that fans not only stayed through 30-degree weather, freezing rain, but were cheering. You're down in the game. The weather's terrible. It's cold. It's late. People want to go home. But they all stuck around. Any excuse that I would have seen a typical fan to run out of a stadium, they didn't take. And I've seen people run out of indoor stadiums faster than running out of this game. They stuck around and supported the team. What did it mean to you to maybe not have as many people as you wanted, but to have the people that just sit there until that final buzzer, no matter what your weather is going to be? I mean, you're here in the Northeast. You're going to fight the elements, and you talked about weather permitting. Sometimes people make their decisions or change their decisions. When you see a fan base that sticks around like they did against Maryland, what did that mean to you as a coach?
I love the fans in Syracuse. You know, obviously, you can't control the elements, but it means the world to us to have people in the seats. It also means that we're doing something right. We're playing the right way. We're an entertaining team. You know, whether we are up or down, we're still going to continue to fight and play hard and play an attractive style of soccer. And the fact that people stuck around, yeah, it was cold, it was rainy. Some people even said there were snowflakes at times. To have people stick around to the end meant so much to us. And, you know, like I said, the people in Syracuse and the fan base in Syracuse is absolutely awesome. It's phenomenal. And, you know, I'm very proud to be part of the community.
When you talk about an attractive style of soccer, how do you define that for Syracuse?
Well, we play a possession style of soccer. You know, it's a very intricate style of play. Lots of passing, lots of ball movement, lots of attacking flair. It's an enjoyable system to watch. It's an enjoyable game to watch. It's not just thump it long and try and chase it and try and cause problems at one end. You know, we try and involve all 11 players on the field. It's should be a fast, free-flowing game.
Looking at the season in the ACC and even outside of that, how do you feel the team performed having this jump that we've talked about off the air and going into what you consider to be the most talented conference that you're going to face?
Well, we opened up with two games in Virginia, and we played the number one team in the country, and they're still number one and still undefeated. And we played we played UVA, and we lost 3-0. And we're like, holy cow, if every game is like this, it's, you know, we're going to have to do a few things differently. We made some adjustments, and we were in every game. The game against Maryland, we lost 3-1 in our last home game. That was the first time since we lost in that opening weekend that we'd lost by more than one goal. In all of those other games, we had opportunities to win. You know, it was an unlucky bounce, or we missed a shot and they didn't. You know, it was just one of those things. I think our team performed exceptionally well. And coaches from every team that we played, every coach complimented us on the way that we play and our style of play, and they said how organized and disciplined we were. And I always relay that to the players, because they need to know, win or lose, that they are playing a very good, attractive style of soccer.
Do you feel respected in your first year in the ACC? Do you feel like in your conversations with coaches that the team has maybe gained some respect despite losses that have come? Do you feel like there is respect there?
I think when you play another team and you're expected to lose and you know, you keep the game tight, and either you tie or you lose or by one, you know, there's a certain amount of respect that you gain. But when those coaches call you and say, how did you keep it close against so-and-so, and they ask you for a scouting report and they ask your opinion, then you know you're respected. I think going into this season, people thought that Syracuse was going to be a pushover and an easy win, and we proved the exact opposite. I wouldn't say just myself, our coaching staff is well-respected in the ACC.
Your passion for soccer has gone all over the world. It has withstood any tests of any time with teams you've worked with, wherever they were when you came onto that team. What makes you passionate in this moment about Syracuse, with all the work that you've done and everywhere that you've been and potentially could go? Why be here with Syracuse, with this team, in a new conference, and lead them forward? What makes you stay right here?
This is, you know, we've all had jobs where we like the people we work for and not necessarily the people we work with, or vice versa. We've all had situations where, you know, you can pack up and leave when it's tough. You know, when I inherited this program, it wasn't a contender nationally or even in the conference, really. I'm in a situation here at Syracuse where I love the people I work with. I love the people I work for. I love the community. People are supportive in every single way. You know, and if we're having a tough stretch, you know, people are still there supporting us, and we have the support of the administration. I have a fantastic staff that I work with on a daily basis, and it's very much a family and community atmosphere, and you can't pass that up. You know, yes, I've had some great experiences, and I continue to have some great experiences, and a lot of those experiences are due to the players that are on this team. And the people I surround myself with.
Lastly, and this is a little bit off topic, but it's something that I have to ask you, because I'm sitting in the stands bundled up with a hat on, the hood over the hat, Alma jacket on, and I see you out on the field with shorts, nothing on your head, just letting it rain on you. Does it ever go through your head? I know that you have to zone in as a coach, and I've coached before on a smaller scale, obviously, but to be out there as cold as it is, and it's raining, and it's potentially snowing on you, do you ever for one second think, God, I'm cold outside? You know, like, do you ever have that feeling of humanity, or do you just zone in so much? Because you seem like your focus is always right there.
No, my mother once told me, no sense, no feeling. So, honestly, if my hands get cold, I get cold. But apart from that, you know, the elements don't really bother me, unless it's snow, obviously. Plus I'm active in the warm-up and so on, so typically I'll put another layer on top. I'm not worried about the bottom so much.
It's Phil Wedden right there telling everybody in the Northeast that if you don't think about being cold, you don't have to be. I always appreciate having you here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora, and we look forward to talking with you soon.
Great, thank you very much.
Once again, Phil Wedden, head coach of Syracuse women's soccer squad, who played very effectively against the ACC, and as Phil Wedden said, lost games by just that one goal, keeping it very close, not getting really blown out in many games, and very, very few where multiple goals were scored that they lost by. So a big credit to Phil Wedden, who spoke on the fact that the team wasn't really expected to be much in their first season in the ACC, and he's definitely brought about some respect with the coaching staffs, as he has spoken about, and is deserving so, in my mind, for the type of coach and even more so person that he is. So I thank Phil Wedden once again for coming on to Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora, with that exclusive only on wakeupcalldt.com and on your iPhone, iPad, iPod app from the Apple Store, Sports DT. That's SportsDT, which you can also get directly by going to the website wakeupcalldt.podbean, that's podbean.com/mobile. That'll bring you straight to the free app as well. And if you have any other device outside of an Apple device, over 2,000 devices, smartphones, Androids, whatever it may be, by going to the Google Play Store and searching Sports DT, SportsDT, one more time, you can get that free app on the Google Play Store as well. And I thank you for everyone that's downloaded the app, and for all of you listening on WakeUpCallDT.com. I very much appreciate that. And keeping with the field, as I had stated earlier in Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora right here on WakeUpCallDT.com, that we would stay on the field and switch sports, going from Syracuse women's soccer to Syracuse football. And Scott Schaefer, who had some words to say before the game against Maryland, and I definitely want to get into his opening statement, which I'm going to play in just a moment here, because of what he brought up. Scott Schaefer is the type of person where you never know what he's going to say. You just know that it's going to be something profoundly moral, value-filled, driven in a positive way, and coming with that God behind it, that faith-filled message behind it. So Scott Schaefer giving a little introduction here going into the game against Maryland and bringing up something very important that we're going to speak on right after here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on wakeupcalldt.com. So listen in to Scott Schaefer's opening address going into the game against Maryland.
You know, coming off a great victory, obviously, against Wake Forest, and a great celebration with Donovan McNabb back in town. And it was just great to see his face after the game and after the weekend and hear his comments on, you know, really having an enjoyable experience back at Syracuse. And then you look back 2005, we had an opportunity to honor another great player in our history in Wilmuth Sadat Singh. Much has been said about this coming weekend and Maryland doing the right thing and trying to right a wrong that was extremely ugly many years ago. And we're happy to be a part of that. You know, a young Syracuse player 75, 76 years ago that didn't have an opportunity to play because of the color of his skin. And for, you know, both Maryland and Syracuse to take the time and honor him, it's the right thing to do. And, you know, you look back and there's ugly times behind you and you try to not make the same mistakes as you move forward. And it was an ugly time in our country. And it's just, like I said, it's just great that they're fixing something that was just so ugly many years ago.
Once again, that was Syracuse Orange football head coach Scott Schaefer speaking on what happened 76 years ago in College Park, where the Maryland Terrapins play football, happening back on October 1937. Maryland stated to Syracuse, "We will not play you if," this was an ultimatum, "Maryland refused to play Syracuse unless Syracuse kept Wilmuth Sadat Singh off the field." And Wilmuth Sadat Singh asked to be off the field because of the fact that the Maryland Terrapins did not have black athletes, did not allow them to play, and did not even have the breaking of segregation until 1951. So 14 years after they told Syracuse, "You can play us only if you don't have Wilmuth Sadat Singh," 14 years later, they finally start to end that segregation. So they've decided now that they are going to honor Wilmuth Sadat Singh for Syracuse. And even though it wasn't their player, because of what happened back in 1937, they're finally going to do something to honor him. And that's something that I can truly appreciate and state that it's something that I think Wilmuth Sadat Singh, looking over, he had passed away when he was training in the Tuskegee Airmen, that he was a part of Tuskegee Airmen, known so well, movie made recently about them and everything that they did in World War II, and Wilmuth Sadat Singh being a part of that and having passed away during a training exercise. So to Wilmuth Sadat Singh, you know, obviously I think looking down on this game, no matter who wins, that there is something, a wrong that's finally righted in this respect. And, you know, going back in time, I would have loved for there to have never been any segregation. I think that everyone should have been treated equal from the beginning, just as God created us. But that it's a total understatement in saying this, but unfortunately that was not the case. So Wilmuth Sadat saying, "I thank the Maryland Terrapins who have decided to do something special for him and to acknowledge him." Wilmuth Sadat Singh, during the first and second quarter of the game between Syracuse and Maryland played at College Park, there will be the recognition of Sadat Singh and going to the family will be a, quote, Maryland football wounded warrior jersey in recognition of his military service, end quote, which came from the release that was put out by the University of Maryland that also stated, and this came from Kumea Shorter Gooden, who is the University of Maryland's Associate Vice President and Chief Diversity Officer, who said this, quote, this tribute about, quote, quote, this tribute is about honoring Wilmoth, but it also stands for so much more. We know Wilmoth's name, but there are so many African Americans whose names aren't known who experience similar incidents of racism. I hope in some way this can help with healing for all of them. And I see this as a reaffirmation of the university's commitment to transcend its past and to be fully equitable, diverse, and inclusive, end quote. The only issue with this is in stating that they know Wilmoth's name, the misspelling of Wilmoth's name occurred here. So kind of the irony of saying we know Wilmoth's name and then having everything behind it of what happened with Maryland and why they're doing this whole honoring in the first place and misspelling Wilmoth Sadat Singh's name 10 times in the release that I just gave you that quote, those quotes from. So kind of ironic and a little bit wrong, a lot of bit wrong, I should say, that Maryland, with trying to right a wrong here and even stating we know his name, spell Wilmoth Sadat Singh's name wrong 10 times. So something that definitely needs to be fixed. When you're trying to do right in the present for a wrong in the past, don't want to keep making wrongs there. However, at the same time, having this ceremony, that this honoring of Wilmoth Sadat Singh is something that I think is truly special. His jersey hangs on the rafters of the Carrier Dome inside, and that number 19, which will also be worn, that number 19, on the helmets of every Syracuse Orange player going up against Maryland. So to Wilmoth Sadat Singh, and as it was stated before with everything that I was talking about with bullying, that just things have been wrong and people haven't been treated equally, and prejudice and racism and sexism and all different kinds of negative isms, pretty much. It comes down to the fact that there has to be a change. And 76 years it's taken for there to be a change, but I thank the Maryland Terrapins, I thank the University of Maryland for finally doing something positive for Wilmoth Sadat Singh. I think that this is something that is obviously a long time coming with almost 80 years passing in between, but it's better to do it now than to never do it at all. So I thank the University of Maryland for doing that. And now, getting back into Scott Schaefer and what he had to say with the game against Maryland, I asked him about the defensive line and Jay Bromley, Isaiah Johnson, who's a true freshman who stepped up, and what he's taken from them so far. And this is what Scott Schaefer said to me in response.
Yeah, you know, it has to be that next man in approach as you have injuries. And, you know, it was good to see, you know, Isaiah, we call him Zeke, get in there and make a couple plays. But most importantly, I think we have leadership in that room, starting with Jay Bromley. And, you know, Jason's, he's a kid that when we first got here, the thing we loved about him the first week of practice was just his work ethic. And it seems like it was yesterday. And the thing about Jason that I've loved the most is he's never changed. You know, that consistent work ethic and working hard to do what his coaches have asked has been there since day one. And I think that as a role model in that room, those young guys, Isaiah included, can really learn lessons from that type of a player in front of them.
Jay Bromley, someone that I have appreciated talking with over the past couple seasons, including this season for the Syracuse Orange, just everything that he brings to the team, having to step up with different guys finishing their careers, from a Deion Goggins, Brandon Sharp, Chandler Jones, for Jay Bromley to step up and do what he's done, I think is very commendable, should be something that people regard as a positive thing. Having a sack in 5 of the team's 8 games, having 1 sack against Northwestern, 2 against Wagner, 2 against Clemson's Taj Boyd, seems to even play better against better competition, 1 against NC State, and two against Wake Forest. He also has three forced fumbles that he has brought about this season, one against Northwestern, another against Wagner, and the last one against NC State. Has hit the quarterback when he was playing up against Penn State and has put together 11 tackles for a loss and altogether 28 tackles. So much respect for the work of Jay Bromley and what he's been doing so far this season as a defensive tackle on Syracuse's defensive line, just really fighting hard and showing that not only is he a productive player that doesn't always show up in the stat sheet, but when he does show up in the stat sheet, just how strong he can be. And Isaiah Zeke Johnson being called upon recently, even more so than he was in the rotation, now that John Raymond is out for the season. Isaiah Johnson, a true freshman, getting half a sack against Wake Forest and also getting an interception, his first career interception ever, and his first ever sack that he can account for, and they gave him half the sack. I give him the whole one. I think he put a pretty good body on there for a sack against Wake Forest's Tanner Price, but they give him a half a sack. Either way, gets his first sack, first interception ever in his career, does it as a true freshman in only his fourth game ever as a college football player. So big congrats to Isaiah Johnson. He was my defensive player of the week up against Wake Forest every single week on the CUSE page. That's C-U-S-E, the acronym for constant updates and special exclusives on wakeupcalldt.com. That's the only place you'll find it. wakeupcalldt.com. Click on the CUSE page, which you can find by clicking on the More tab all the way to the right on the homepage. That'll bring you right to the CUSE page, and that will give you my offensive, defensive, and special teams player of the week every single week for the Syracuse Orange, most recently being Isaiah Zeke Johnson for doing what I knew he was capable of. The man came in physically built to do the job, big guy, strong guy, and definitely has the ability to do good things because he is focused, he has morals and values, never afraid to talk about God, has a big faith. So all of that, I think, works in Isaiah's favor, along with being 6'4 and 200-plus pounds also helps a man out on the defensive line. So a lot of credit to the work he's doing and what he's doing in rotation to help out Syracuse, who has put every single quarterback that they faced under pressure in some way, shape, or form. And they deserve, as a cumulative team for the defensive line, as a unit, Tim Doust and the defensive line coach, Tim Doust, and his entire defensive line group deserve to have a standing ovation for the work that they... And a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of a clap there. Get that. Hopefully you can hear that. It's translating through. If I have my fan hands on, it'll be a little bit louder. I got to make sure I get those on next time. Fanhands.com. Make sure you get your pair. Isaiah Johnson, Jay Bromley, Micah Robinson, Robert Welsh, John Raymond when he was out there, Zan Jones for what he's worked to do as well, Eric Kroom, everyone that has been on that line and pushing opposing quarterbacks no matter what the team was going up against them. Clemson, the number three team in the nation, and they won handily against Syracuse, but still, Jay Bromley, two sacks of his own against Clemson's Taj Boyd, who's up for the Heisman Trophy and also up potentially for being the first quarterback chosen in the upcoming draft in 2014 for the NFL. So big credit to this defensive line and all the work that it does, and to Isaiah Johnson for getting his first Defensive Player of the Week honors from wakeupcalldt.com on that CUSE page. Make sure you don't miss out on checking that out every single week. The rotator for the most recent game is on the top, and you can look back on all the prior weeks and who won on the bottom of the CUSE page of wakeupcalldt.com. DT.com. Before we take another step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com, want to get you the other part of the Syracuse defense. Moving from the front line to the back line, I spoke with Scott Schaefer about the secondary and everything that's gone on with the rotation and the injuries and where he thinks this unit is at right now moving forward for Syracuse. And this is how Coach Schaefer responded.
Yeah, they're working at it. I thought, in the last three games, two of the three games, I thought they played pretty well. And I think you're seeing some consistency and some comfortability level with those kids playing, you know, playing at the level that we expect them to and keeping the game in front of them, but also coming up being physical. You know, we do a thing every game where we talk about big hits. You know, it's a hit that knocks the offensive player backwards. And, you know, we had 16 of those big hits last week, and like five of them came out of the secondary. You know, Eskridge has done a good job. He's probably the most, you know, the most consistent guy from a productive point of view. But the rest of the kids, they've improved. They really have.
As far as who the leader potentially is of the secondary this season for Syracuse Orange football, I asked Scott Schaefer as a follow-up to what you just heard, who that leader is in his mind, if it is free safety Darrell Eskridge specifically, and this is what he had to say in response to that.
The leaders in that room are really, you know, a combined group effort. Not really. There's no singular guy that steps out right now, although I do see at times a guy like Eskridge starting to lean into that. Another guy that, you know, shares time across the board is a good special teams player is Richie Desir, and he's as consistent as it gets as a person. And, you know, I really like him in that room as well.
Scott Schaefer, head coach of Syracuse Orange football, stating the fact that he doesn't really have a set leader, but has said that Darrell Eskridge, the free safety, is leaning into the role a little bit, and also made mention of another safety, Richie Desir, who's also played across special teams as well for the Syracuse Orange. Starting with Darrell Eskridge, just what he's done. This is someone that I liked last fall, the fall before going into the 2013 season. Going into the 2012 season, was a fan of Darrell Eskridge, his speed and his ability, his hitting ability, which was really only thwarted by one guy in the offense, that being Ashton Broyles. Besides that, Darrell Eskridge playing well against numerous guys on the offense, really like what I saw from him. He stuck out to me, and so I'm not surprised that the man is productive now, because I saw this coming and thought that he was going to be one of those guys that could step in and have a positive effect with Shamarco Thomas being gone. So far this season, he has two interceptions, and he has also broken a pass up and made 54 total tackles, including 36 on his own, two of those for a loss, and got involved with a sack, getting half a sack so far this season. So Darrell Eskridge, his numbers showing some positive play by what he's been able to do. Richie Desir on the special team side has had Brizzly Esteem step back there and receive some punts, but he's also been there himself in continuing to stay with the return game. Richie Desir has good hands, and he's also made some good choices, and in tight spaces and in small spaces has been able to make some pretty good plays happen and give Syracuse that those invisible yards that Scott Schaefer has spoken about before, creating those invisible yards for the offense, getting them to start somewhere better than where they would have been. Pretty much anything positive on a punt return is something that's going to help out the offense. If you get 1 yard ahead, don't let that ball pass you by and keep moving forward. And Richie's made some good decisions, and it's definitely helped Syracuse start off in better places and help the offense grab some yards before they even get on the field. He's had a pass breakup this season, had an interception against Clemson. Once again, guys stepping up, making big plays against the best of the best quarterback that Syracuse has gone up against this season in Clemson's Taj Boyd. He grabbed an interception from him, just as I spoke about earlier here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com, the fact that Jay Brownlee got two sacks against Taj Boyd. So doing big things. Richie Desir, 25 tackles, 15 of those on his own. Tackle and a half is what he has for a loss out there. Got a tackle for a loss against Wagner, and then did it against NC State, getting a half of a tackle there for a loss. So just getting involved in rotation, not used as much as Darrell Eskridge, but Richie Desir, one of those guys that's kind of like that silent thunder that has the opportunity and the ability to make some good plays out there, and has helped out Syracuse on multiple platforms, which Scott Schaefer talked about. So understandable to see some leadership there. And one thing I love about Richie Desir and the potential of him becoming a leader is that he states openly that before every game he prays with his mother. And I love that. I love that. I love that he does it. I love that he admits to doing it. I love that it's important to him, and I love that it's important to his mother. So God bless him, you know, for all the good things that he's done, and God bless everybody listening right now. Absolutely. I have the utmost respect for Richie Dozier, and having God in his life, having family in his life, and having morals and values, it just really says a lot about the type of person that he is. And I don't think he's known as well as he should be, but you could definitely get to know him a little bit more by going to youtube.com/wakeupcalldt. That's youtube.com/wakeupcall, all one word, no hyphens, wakeupcall, D as in Dan, T as in Thomas. Make sure you go there and see my one-on-one with Richie Dozier. Definitely don't want to miss out on that. We'll take a quick step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on wakeupcalldt.com, and then we'll get into the NFL very quick before I go with my tweet of the week. Did you win? You'll find out in just a few moments here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on wakeupcalldt.com. Come out to Pole Position Raceway, the premier indoor electric karting experience. Open 7 days a week, their quarter-mile-long European-style track, located on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York, is home to the fastest electric karts in North America, with speeds up to 45 miles per hour. Arrive and drive any day, Monday through Sunday. Pole Position Raceway is also available for group events. From kids' birthday parties to corporate events, they will provide an authentic, exhilarating, and safe racing experience your guests will never forget. For more information, visit polepositionraceway.com or stop in today on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York. Pole Position Raceway, built by racers for racers.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Rack 'em up for the perfect sport to play in any weather. Salt City Billiards in North Syracuse, located on Brewerton Road, minutes from Interstate 81, has been the home of a dozen pool tables featuring some of your best shots and memories for years. Cue it up at Salt City Billiards any day of the week. And make sure you're there with me, Dan Tatora, for on-call nights every single Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m., where you'll rack them up as many times as you want with 2 hours of pool play for just $5. Also, Bud and Bud Light specials, and we can talk about sports. That's on-call nights Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. at Salt City Billiards, where you can grab a drink, get something to eat, and dive into the pool no matter what the season. Salt City Billiards, minutes from Interstate 81 on Brewerton Road in North Syracuse. Back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop. Can't miss it. Wakeupcalldt.com with so many different things for you to enjoy, including the homepage that has all the sponsors on there, a background on what I do, an opportunity for you to become a free member right at the top of the site to get all my exclusive information, the 24/7 talk forum where the exclusive information is, as well as the Right Now page where I write exclusive stories just for you to get a hold of, the leaderboard page with the sponsors that you don't want to miss, with maps to their locations, get you there quick and easy on one website, the shows page where you're at right now listening to Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora, exclusive interviews, YouTube page, Back on the Field with Rob Drummond, and so much more, ironically, by clicking that More tab, which will also bring you to fantasy football that I cover every single week to give you NFL fans what you need to know for your fantasy football team, every single matchup, every single week happens free on wakeupcalldt.webs.com/fantasy-football. Easy way to do it. Go to wakeupcalldt.com, go to that More tab, and just click right on Fantasy Football. That'll bring you to the same place. Speaking of that, the NFL, as it stands right now, just wanted to bring this up because I thought it was kind of interesting, a little bit strange to me to be saying this, but if the playoffs were to start right now, this is how they would shake out. Seattle will be the top team. Now, after they lost the Super Bowl that they should have won, because, and I'm saying this in all, I'm not a Steelers fan and I'm not a Seahawks fan. What I mean is in the comfort of my own home, I don't have a favorite team between these two. I'm saying this honestly, which I always do with you, impartiality, even if I was a fan of one of the two. The Seattle Seahawks were in the back of the end zone, had 2 feet in, wasn't called a touchdown. Ben Roethlisberger was not in, and it was called a touchdown. You reverse that, take one touchdown away, put one touchdown on, and the Seattle Seahawks would have won a Super Bowl. So all I'm saying is in that case, now if Pittsburgh was up by 2 touchdowns, touchdown, a field goal, something like that, it's a different story, but Seattle had one stolen from them. Now they're working to make it happen and not looking to make any excuses, not looking for any favors. This team is at the top right now of the NFC. Big credit to them for the work that they've done. New Orleans right now, they are right there in the mix as well. Don't have as much defense as they did when they won the Super Bowl, so if they get matched up with Seattle, there's some concern, I would say, there. Detroit Lions, well in the mix. Not something that you expect. You'd expect Green Bay to be the team that's going to be in there. They're still in the hunt right now, but you think about the injuries to their passing game. Aaron Rodgers, James Jones, Randall Cobb, JerMichael Finley. It seems like this team is they've just been bitten by the bug. They really have, and it's at the most inopportune time, as if there was any good time. But the Detroit Lions have done enough. They've done enough. They're not doing a lot, but they have done enough. I think Matt Stafford is better than he plays sometimes. I think Calvin Johnson is definitely good, but and that might be an understatement. I think it definitely is an understatement. Megatron is very good, but Matt Stafford, to me, I think he's a better leader, and he has to step up and do that. Dallas Cowboys in the mix. Tony Romo, a lot of credit to what he's doing. The division is anybody's at this point. The New York Giants at the bottom of the division still have a chance, as gross as that sounds, when they started the season 0-6. So they're still in the mix. Everybody's still in the mix, but Philly's weak, Washington's weak, the Giants are weak. So Dallas just needs to do a little bit. However, when you say to Dallas, all you have to do is this one thing, they have a very hard time doing it. We'll see if it's different this year. They definitely feel a little bit different in a positive way. San Francisco in the mix, although their offense is suspect at times. Carolina Panthers, give them some credit. They're in the mix right now for the playoffs. Big thing for them, working very hard and doing some good things. I mean, the Carolina Panthers, you don't really have expectations for them. I don't know if anybody's really had crazy expectations for the Panthers outside of when they made it to the Super Bowl. And even then, I don't know how many people had huge expectations that they were really going to go somewhere with things. But, you know, they've beaten all the bad teams so far. So, you know, you got to see what they're going to do against some of the good teams, because wins against teams like St. Louis and Tampa Bay and even Atlanta this season, and then shutting out the New York Giants, they don't really say too much about what you're doing, but their running game is in the top 10. Cam Newton continues to be a guy that can do both. Steve Smith's getting involved a little bit more. Brandon LaFell, the wide receiver, has been involved. Greg Olsen finally getting involved. Hello. So good to see the tight end being utilized, which was good back in the heyday for the Carolina Panthers when they first came in. And that's kind of how the NFC looks. My surprises are definitely Carolina and Detroit. Dallas a little bit. Seattle, no, because I said last season that they had the best passing defense in the country, and this season I think they have the best defense in the country total. Looking over at the AFC for the NFL, Kansas City Chiefs making it happen. They are better than the Denver Broncos as it sits right now. So those head-to-head matches with the Broncos, very important. Kansas City, just a strong team, playing very well. I give a lot of credit to Andy Reid. I thought he was done. Thought he was done as a coach. Alex Smith, I thought it was a bad decision from San Francisco to say, we didn't even have a full season with Colin Kaepernick, he's our guy. But they made that choice. They're still on the hunt, but not as good as Kansas City. Dwayne Bowe gets life again because of Alex Smith. Jamal Charles is healthy, so that's a difference maker for the team. So, Dexter McCluster is doing more because he's a guy that just fades away and shows back up. Kansas City is just punch in the mouth. They play it tough. They come back in games. I really like watching them this season. And this is the first season I've ever really been able to say that. 2-14 last year, and within the first 3 weeks of the season had already overcome their entire wins from last season. So big, big props to Kansas City, doing great things. New England, of course, in the mix. I don't think this New England team is as good as their season looks, wins and losses so far. I think that they struggle a little bit in the passing game. I don't think Tom Brady's doing what these receivers, I don't think he's making these receivers look as good as he made some of the other misfit toys look before. So I don't see it as an explosive, and I know you're going to say, Dan, they scored 50-plus, blah, blah, blah. But to me, they may be turning on at the right time, but at least early on in the season, they were kind of boring. And they weren't really playing as well as I expect the New England Patriots. They kind of set the bar for themselves. They were playing like two bars below that, if not three at times. So it'll be interesting to see how they play the rest of the season, but they've kind of been back and forth. I could see that maybe they're turning on right now, but they haven't been as good as the past. Indianapolis Colts, what can you say? Andrew Luck, jeepers Christmas. I mean, this guy has been amazing. He has figured out ways to come back. He went with his offense and defeated Peyton Manning, excuse me, and credit to the defense, too, of the Colts. I look at David Robinson and Tim Duncan on the San Antonio Spurs, and I said that probably had to be the smoothest transition I've seen in a long time in the NBA. And in the NFL, I think it's pretty safe to say that besides your Joe Montana, Steve Young, that in the here and now, Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck in Indianapolis really is probably, potentially, the smoothest transition that you could say has happened. He's leading this offense. T.Y. Hilton turned on 3 touchdowns in one of his recent games. He's on my fantasy team. Thank you, T.Y. I appreciate it. I think T.Y. stands for thank you. So thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Team just looking good. You know, Robert Mathis doing what he does. Dwight Freeney's not there anymore, but the defense still getting involved. So I like that. I like that they're getting active. I think their secondary is a little bit better. So credit to Indianapolis, doing really well. Cincinnati, they always find a way into the mix. I said it before, I like Jay Gruden as an offensive coordinator. He was the head coach when I was down in Florida with the Florida Tuskers of the UFL down in Orlando area playing in the Citrus Bowl. So I'm very happy with Jay moving to this part of his career a couple seasons ago and really doing a good job with it. I honestly think he is. I think he's smart. I think he's got very talented athletes in Andy Dalton and A.J. Green. I think Jermaine Gresham can get better. I really like Giovanni Bernard. I have him on my fantasy team. Thank you, Giovanni. Great guy when it comes to the red zone as a running back. Cincinnati's just good. They have that. They have that ability. I think their secondary makes some plays, but I think this really still is that offensive team, and they have that spark. Denver, speaking of offensive spark, has been disgustingly good. The Denver Broncos, to me, Peyton Manning, I believe he can win another Super Bowl. I thought he could do it last year. I think even more so he could do it this year. They do have some mistakes they need to correct. Jacksonville forced 3 fumbles. Just Peyton Manning made 2 mistakes, 2 out of those 3. But against a team that is at the bottom of the barrel for the NFL, they exposed the weaknesses of Peyton Manning and were able to get an interception from him as well. So I think that Peyton, definitely, there are some weak points of that offense. I think there's a lot of weak points of the defense they didn't have before, just leaving space in the passing game, in the running game. I think that they have to condense that. They have to get better on defense if they're going to play a team like Seattle in the championship Super Bowl game, which I think is a definite possibility. But this Denver team is strong. I would not want to play them. I love the way that they're playing. The New York Jets, they're in the mix right now. They've shocked me. They're not the greatest team in the world. Their record's kind of right about that equator line. But they've won some good games. I mean, you know, you look at the game where they avenged a loss to the New England Patriots. They did it in overtime. Credit to them for that. I think the Jets are talking less and doing more, which is what they need to do. That needs to be their MO. So, you know, Geno Smith playing better than I thought he was. I'm not a big fan of Santonio Holmes. I think Antonio Cromartie is overrated. At the same time, the Jets have enough work that's going. It seems like nobody's playing great, but as a team, they're doing enough. And so you have to give them credit for that. Tennessee is in the mix. Crazy. But they've found a way. Chris Johnson's playing pretty much awful most of the time. Not, he's a shell of a shell of a shell of his former self. But Tennessee's still in the mix. I don't think that Jake Locker as a quarterback gets enough credit that he deserves for being a good young quarterback. Miami's still in the mix, but they have so much going on. As we talked about on the beginning part of Wake Up Call with Dan Satora with the annoying moment of the week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt. So where they're going to stand is kind of up in the air. Cleveland's in the mix. San Diego's in the mix. I like Cleveland more than San Diego because I think Cleveland has a good secondary. I think they're a lot better than people give them credit for. And they found ways to win with three different quarterbacks, which no other team in the NFL has done this season. So I do like Cleveland more than San Diego. They find a way to choke all the time. But teams that are out of it, I mean, you look at teams like Houston and Pittsburgh, Baltimore kind of out of it right now. Very surprising. Baltimore just won a Super Bowl, and you lose Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, and all of a sudden your team is playing totally different. But it's not even their fault. Joe Flacco's just been awful. In Houston, your backup is better in Houston. That's how it always seems to go. Case Keenum, credit to you, sir. You are making it happen. And I did not even know much about you at the beginning of the season, but I know you now. I will fully admit that. Pittsburgh's been awful on defense and on offense, so not much to be said about them. So really, the way it looks right now, I mean, Denver, I expected. New England, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, kind of. The Jets, not really. In Kansas City, no. So I didn't expect them to be at the top of the heap, that's for sure. So definitely an NFL season that I think is pleasantly different, which makes it all the more exciting as we continue on. And make sure you keep up with my coverage, fantasy football coverage, on wakeupcalldt.com on the fantasy football page, and so much more coming up with coverage of the NFL, including Jacksonville Jaguars coverage. It's been half a decade, including this season, that I've covered the Jacksonville Jaguars. Win, lose, or draw, they're covering the team, who are making some good moves, some positive moves, and I think they're finally making the moves in rebuilding that will take them in the right direction. I don't think they've been doing that for a while, but I think that this offseason was finally their positive step. So I give them credit for that. They need a quarterback, though. That's a definite. Before we round out Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on wakeupcalldt.com, they'll have to give you the tweet of the week where I pick my favorite message from those of you following me on Twitter. 460 plus. I'm going to pick it right now. The tweet of the week proudly goes to Matt Huber, who is at the Raptor 35. That's at the Raptor, R-A-P-T-O-R, and the number 35, who said, "Great, I get call DT," which is my tag, C-A-L-L-D-T. "Great, I get call DT this week in fantasy. Can you throw me a bone and start like three people? You'll still win." Matt, I'm not starting three people. I understand that you were trying to, give me a little bit of, I guess, some props, saying if I start three people, I'll still win. But Matt had talked to me at the beginning of the season and asked me if I would give fantasy football advice impartially, including the week that he plays me. Well, I am, and Matt said to me that he's got me this week and asked if I would minimize my team. I won't do it, Matt. But I do appreciate you getting in touch with me, and I thank you for your follow. Matt Huber at the Raptor 35. Make sure you follow me for all your fantasy football advice that you can get on wakeupcalldt.webs.com/fantasy-football, or just go to wakeupcalldt.com and click on more, and you'll find the fantasy football page right there. You'll get all the information you need on who to play, who to sit, and who to consider for every single matchup so far. Will not steer you astray to the best of my ability. I include injuries and everything else going on. I do my due diligence to help you out. So make sure you don't miss out on my coverage, fantasy football, every single week, and on coverage of all the sports every week that we talk about here on Wake Up Call with Dan Totora on wakeupcalldt.com. You heard the annoying moment of the week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt. Let's stop bullying everywhere. You also heard the Art of Leadership with Phil Wedden, Syracuse women's soccer head coach. A lot to say there on the sport of soccer in general, men's and women's. And you heard the Tweet of the Week, which are all exclusive here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on wakeupcalldt.com. You also heard from Scott Schaefer, and you heard from new partners with Dan Satora Broadcast Media, Salt City Billiards. Get out to them in North Syracuse. And you heard from Pole Position Raceway, Destiny USA. No matter what the weather, guess what? You get to get on that track and race. Just let that NASCAR in person in you come out and race safely. Have a great time. Truly exhilarating. It is. It is a different experience. You'll never have it anywhere else just like that. And at Salt City Billiards, getting back to them, the experience of being in the community and shooting pool, something that we've done in America for so long. I had the opportunity to grow up and go out and shoot pool with my dad. Then we got a pool table. So much fun. Have the conversation going around the pool table while you have some fun out there. And you can do that all at Salt City Billiards, which has been in the community for a long time in North Syracuse, right on Brewerton Road, minutes from Interstate 81, I should say. It's all the same. It's a highway. There you go. So minutes from Interstate 81, and the good thing about it is you could go shoot pool at Salt City Billiards, then get right on 81, and in just a few moments be at Destiny USA for Pole Position Raceway. So a good way to get in touch with both of our new partners, and I also thank longstanding partner Carvel DeWitt and also Dry Sig Apparel for providing all of the apparel that makes me look professional wherever I go with Wake Up Call with Dan Satora and Dan Satora Broadcast Media. They can help your team, the lady in your life, whoever it may be, wherever you are, whatever company you work with, they can help you look professional and feel comfortable at the same time. Dry Sig Apparel is the way to go. DreissSig athletic.com. And for the ladies, DreissigLady.com with your Relax Fit Bamboo line and the workout line. You don't want to miss out on that. DreissigLady.com, helping every woman feel good no matter what she's doing. And special thanks to fanhands.com for everything that they have done to truly make the best fans in the world that listen here on Wake Up Call with Dan Totora. And I know everybody says they have the best fans in the world, and I'm sure that in a respect we all do for those of us that appreciate you. And so I could say I have the best fans in the world because I love you for listening, I love you for supporting me, and I love you for just being positive. And your positivity drives me. It helps to keep me going, and it truly means so much to me that when I speak, there's someone out there listening, and that you always know that I'm talking with you, not at you. That's something that's always been important to me, is to establish the fact that I don't think I'm smarter than you. I don't think I'm better than you. I'm just living my dream, and I'm sharing it with you. So thank you all so much. The best fans, go to fanhands.com for the number one fan accessory. You're going to go out to the game. You're going to clap. Why not clap louder? Why not be a louder fan? And you don't have to scream. You don't have to lose your voice. You just clap your hands together. And you do it with the technology created by fanhands.com. Very inexpensive and not obtrusive to the game. You can just stick your fan hands in your pocket. Put them on when you need them. You can put them on the way to the game to keep your hands warm. And then once you're in the game, you already got them on. Start clapping. Start enjoying it. 11 different colors. So find your favorite team at fanhands.com right now. Find that color. Order them up. Put them on. Do it for a good cause. You can find out how to do that on the fan corner page of wakeupcalldt.com. And let me hear you at the next game I'm at with a pair of fan hands getting loud. Thank you so much to all the partners of Dan Satora Broadcast Media. Thank you to you for listening in. Thank you to God for keeping this possible and for making me in the first place. And to my grandfathers and my grandmothers, my parents, my fiance, my dogs, thank you to, and for my, and I mean my actual dogs, my first two dogs, Mordo and Cinnamon and Shady. Mordo and Cinnamon watching over me, Shady here on earth with me. I cannot thank God enough for all my friends, family, supporters. You have all made my life memorable, wonderful, and I have been overblessed by God. I'll never give any of it back. Hold on to it. I'm not saying I don't want those blessings. I'll always appreciate them. But God has overblessed me three lifetimes over already, and I look forward to what's in store moving ahead, and I thank God for everything. So keep smiling, stay positive, be well, and I'll talk to you very soon. Once again, Dan Satora here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on wakeupcalldt.com, part of Dan Satora Broadcast Media. It feels good to wake up in the morning and put your name on something you love. God bless.